Welcome to Hidden Battles, Destigmatizing Mental Illness, a weekly podcast where passionate advocates of mental health converge to illuminate unseen struggles faced by millions. Join Jeremy, Terrell, and Lorraine as they delve into candid conversations about stigmas, cultural risk, values, intersectionality, and mental health. Hear from mental health professionals and those diagnosed with a mental illness. Together, they put on the table the things people think about but are afraid to talk about. Get ready to embark on an insightful journey.
Listen weekly on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, and subscribe, like, and please share with family and friends that can benefit. See you on the journey.
Battles, destigmatize mental illness. How you doing, Terrell?
I'm fabulous.
Good. How you doing, Lorraine?
I'm great.
Good. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I think we should pick up where we left off.
Okay.
We left off really about values, and I think the audience out there wanting to know our values and particularly what your values are, because Terrell asked you at the end of the last episode, what are your values?
Yeah, what are your values?
Well, I'm actually going to flip this back on y'all. So I have a couple of pieces of paper right here that you all have shared with me. Heritage for Terrell. This is heritage, family, education, relationships, spirituality, and truth. And then Lorraine here has education, trust, honesty, ethics, forgiveness, and spirituality. And to be quite frank with you both, it sounds like a lot of fluff. So let's go beyond the fluff and the pretty little words, and let's really get down. So,
what?
Terrell, if you don't mind, or you can defer, what is truth and how is it obtained?
Well, bottom line is honesty, no bullshit.
Okay.
No one wants.
How's honesty developed?
It's developed by the type of relationship and rapport that you build with an individual, experiences that you have with an individual, and you get to learn a lot about a person's character. Okay. So, and you get to learn a lot of things in terms of character and what their moral compass is in life. So, as you make decisions, we all make decisions that impact our lives or other people's lives or our family's lives. So, no one wants to be around a person who just lies all the damn time.
Right.
You can't trust what they're saying.
But how do you know you've come across somebody that is telling lies based on what they've heard or that they are an honest person and they're trying to present to you a set of facts based on faulty information? How do you know? I mean, like, is it an intuition that you're like, okay, I'm talking to somebody that just might have the wrong facts? Or I hope we're beyond just a liar. Like, we're not talking about just a liar.
What you're saying.
We're talking about business relationships, right. Familial relationships, right. Friendships,
right.
New relationships,
right.
Politics, whatever.
Right.
You have truth down. And so how do you know you don't have somebody that's just a bullshitter and just telling the stories to be telling stories?
Well, that would
or
be
somebody who just
liar,
may not know.
A bullshitter.
Right. Okay.
That's a bullshitter. I mean, at the end of the day, relationships are, for me, are built upon truth, honesty. I mean, no one wants to have a relationship with a bullshitter who, because of his or her low self-esteem or some of their hang-ups from past experiences so that they can enhance themselves or, you know, make me feel like, okay, well, you're a big guy because you did this, that, or the other. Bottom line is, when I say truth, I don't like to deal with people who like to bullshit, okay, who want to pull the wool over your eyes for their own advancement, okay, or to maybe denigrate you in terms of make you feel lesser than who you are, you know, because of their ego or some of their whatever idiosyncrasies that they have or whatever issues that they have from their past experiences and then pushing them onto me. So I don't like to be associated with people who are bullshitters.
Mm-hmm. So then the next question I have for you is that how do you know that you aren't the person that you don't want to have a conversation with? What practices do you have in your daily life?
That's a good question. Because we all have every day we're confronted with scenarios or situations in which challenge what you just said.
Yeah, absolutely.
In order for us to move on in life, okay? And sometimes we navigate. Look, Jeremy, everyone knows a liar and a bullshitter, okay? So what you're saying, there's some truth to that aspect right. of it. However, pound for pound, the average person that has ever associated with me knows that I don't try to advance myself by bullshitting them. You see what I'm saying?
Can I help you out just a little bit? In our interaction, we each carry a weight, right? And how much weight have you been bringing to the table? What have you done for DBT? You've turned it the fuck around. I have people bragging you up right and left. Then you have this podcast we've been developing. You brought your family in. You're bringing weight to the table. So if you and I are just talking, I want you to buy my licorice stick and I tell you how fucking great it is and you buy it before you taste it, that's some bullshit. We know that you in your behavior in our interactions with each other have been fruitful.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So truth is a behavioral-based value. Truth is not what's told, it's what's done.
Yeah, actions.
So you develop a sense of skepticism with people
right.
until they bring weight to the table. And so you can be sold, you can be told, you can be whatever, but until that car shows up at your door and it's in your hands, it's all bullshit.
True.
So when we're talking about families and what actually has been done, whether it's your pastor, your employer, your electrical system, your gas company, your whoever, they have to bring behaviors to the table
right.
that are substantive right. enough
right.
that whatever you see on their website or their proposition, they're behaving in such a way that shows you that that value is actually meaningful to
true.
Them.
True, the behavior. Right? Right. right, the behavior, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So you have morality, right?
Morality?
Well, ethics, high moral decisions, and character, right?
Well, yeah. But I like the bullshit part, too.
Okay, every guy's a bullshitter. Every guy runs right. some bullshit. Exactly. Like, my car can go 400 miles an hour. You know, every guy has a little bullshitter.
Right, right. But I think it takes a real bullshitter to really know one.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Because you were asking,
everyone's
how
got
do
a
you
little
know?
Bullshit in them, so come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Everybody has a sense of wanting to brag or wanting right, to be more right, important right, or being, right, have right, the toughest handshake right, in the room.
Right.
But when we're talking about actual sacrifice, because
right.
in relationships, you have a give and a take, and whatever you give is a sacrifice. And so I'm basically saying, when I give up my money, my time, my family, my vote, my whatever, I'm sacrificing a part of myself in hopes that there's an equitable trade-off.
Exactly.
And that's what we're talking about in truth. I hope right. that's what you mean by
absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Is
that it's a trade-off, that both people,
equitable trade-off,
you know, are improved upon right. by the trade-off, the behavioral right. trade-off,
the behavioral
not
trade.
The right. conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So we're
that's
back
good.
To Lorraine. What is hers? What are you?
Yeah. What is
well, she's got ethics and high moral decisions and character. So my question, and this is a little bit of a tough question,
mm-hmm.
but what's the last three most moral decisions you made over the course of the year or month or week or whatever?
Moral
the next
decision.
Right thing. Essentially, what was a right decision you made? It could be your vote, because that's tomorrow, and we'll be talking about that in the next.
Right.
Yeah, we'll be talking about the next show. But what's this decision? It doesn't have to be three. Just any moral decision. It could have been finances. It could have been employment. It could have been spiritual. It could have been personal. It could have been marital. It could have been with your children.
I mean, that could be
careful now, because you know he's got his. Psychologist hat.
I do have
it. Wait a minute.
But I'm not a psychologist.
I mean, that could be something really simple and
sure.
really small. It doesn't
absolutely.
Have to be something just flamboyant. It could be a moral decision to be honest or tell the truth.
When's
and we just talked
when's
about
when's the last time you told the truth?
When is the last time I told the truth?
In prayer, meditation.
Some of your friends in the past 24 hours scenarios. that took place.
Avoiding.
My friend, they could be listening.
Who care? That's why we're doing the podcast.
I did have a scenario where someone was upset and they were, they said something really out of place. And I just said, you may not wanted to say that way.
Yeah.
It could have been put in a different manner so you are not seeming demanding, offensive,
sure.
upset,
yeah.
and it could have been differently.
Sure. And so I'm calling y'all out on your values, but do that with each other.
Sure.
This is all, and I'm not trying to get down on y'all, but
that's
what
fine.
I'm saying is,
that's
like,
fine.
Do that with each other. Moms and dads and children, why do you believe that? When was the last time you did it? Because we're going to be exposed by our audience on whether or not we're following our own values.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be questioning us. You know, there could be trolls, there could be fact checkers, there could be all kinds of shit that comes our way. And then how do we handle that as a team? What's going to break us apart? Let's say we get a manager who's like, hey, Terrell, you know what? You got the look, bud. Fuck Terrell. Fuck Jeremy. We want to break y'all apart. You're the main guy now. I mean, how many boy bands and how many group singers have been torn apart because some manager? What is our value? Do we stick to it or do we are we dishonest with ourselves? And that's the stuff that you were talking about in terms of truth, is that will play out. That will play itself out, and that'll happen however it happens. But what I think with values, what we need to do is get families to have this conversation at the dinner table, whether it's once a week, once a month, that you're sitting down and you're saying, what do you love? What do you value? What brings value to your life? What's tangible? Get away from the word, and get into the action. So that's all I was doing. I was just probing the action. I was just looking, where is the behavior? What have you done recently? What have you done to me lately?
Exactly.
What have you done to me lately?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Jeremy, we're all parents.
Yep.
So, as a parent, what is the one thing you value the most as a parent, as
so,
a father?
For me, what I want to teach my son is that because of my personal life lessons that I've learned through growing up in poverty, having to work essentially a lower middle class job, and then taking a risk and then starting my own business, and then it came into fruition. And then when it came into fruition, I was no longer prodded and probed by external motivators like anxiety or anger and say, I have to go to work today even though I'm sick so I can feed my kid. That was taken away when I started my business, that external motivation. So learning internal motivation, where to find a spiritual center, where to find a purpose that beyond money, beyond trouble, anxiety, police, law, pressure from family and friends, what drives me internally? And quite frankly, I'm still trying to figure that out. So for my son, it's valuing internal motivation. What can I find at my spiritual center to keep me going when everything else in the world sucks, but I'm centered? And that's a struggle in therapy because a lot we're trained to be told, you better go to work, otherwise you're not going to own a home. Fuck a home.
So how are you demonstrating?
Well, let me correct that before you get
okay.
there, because I got what I mean by fuck a home. We need a home.
Absolutely.
Everybody needs a house.
I didn't mean that.
What I mean is that I'm going to live whether I have a home or not, whether I bought a home or not, whether I have an $85,000 car or not. I'm okay because I have this grounding, and I feel like that's a lot of loss in America, especially.
So again, so how are you demonstrating these values?
So
your son.
I sent my son a letter yesterday via email, and I talked to him. I told him some of the good memories that I had with him, because he just naturally was helpful to older kids on the slide. He'd be up there 2 years old with his little 2 year old lisp, telling the older kids how to go down the slide safely, and he would grab other little kids and he would slide down. So he naturally cared about other people. And that he's funny, because like he would do these little vines or whatever with my sister, and she'd put these filters over him, and he'd act like the person that he thought was being a filter over him. So allowing him or asking him to continue being that person. So knowing who your children are and reinforcing that natural, because I don't give a fuck who you are, where the fuck you come from. In my personal opinion, public schools are not made for all children. It's a cookie cutter system, even more now with core curriculum. And we've got boys out there that don't know what the fuck they're doing. I just talked to a guy tonight that's lost his wife, and he can sell shoes to a snake. He can sell a perm to a woman. He can do, you know, I'm saying he's slick as hell, poor grades. So one thing that I learned from working out in Gordon, Nebraska, the principal said to me straight to my face, he goes, Jeremy, public education has no value at all. What is the value? Is the extracurricular activities that kids participate in, because they learn teamwork. What you are involved in class is isolationism. Sit down, shut the fuck up, do your work exactly as I taught you to do it. No creativity, no. Because what we need for memory is tactile move. We need to, if you want to learn how to build a motor, I can give you a damn book on it and you can memorize the book, but you're not going to know how to put a motor together. But put a motor together and tell me what's going to happen the next time you put a motor together. You're going to be able to do it. So my point is letting children be who they are and making sure that government forces, and I sound crazy, I'm sorry, but you cannot let your child, especially if you're in poverty, let the outsiders tell you who you are.
Right. So real quick.
And hold that thought before we go there. We're at our 15-minute break.
Okay.
And this is a good time to end. So please go to our website, www.hiddenbattlesdmi.com, and make sure you share, like, and subscribe to this podcast. We'll be right back.
Hidden Battles Destigmatizing Mental Illness documentary is taking the route of major film festivals for exposure and awards recognition, and here is the promo.
Somewhere in your neighborhood, families are suffering from severe mental illness.
They put me in here because I tried to kill myself, which is extremely fucked up because I tried to kill myself.
And I ended up running my car into the Capitol.
Loved ones looking for answers.
I didn't know what to do. I really did not know what to do.
Because I felt very alone at times. I felt like there really was no one that understood what I was going through.
And I remember the doctor telling me on the phone that lower your expectations. Lower your expectations. And that it wasn't going to be like you thought it was.
I'm sorry, baby girl. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
Is the perception of mental illness fact or plain old stigma?
They didn't want their kids to be friends with me because they were afraid their kids would catch what I had.
Can someone that self-harms function on their own?
You need to take a look at the darkness and bring it into the light and understand that your behavior, your discrimination, your hate, your side comments, your jokes actually kill people.
Hidden Battles, Destigmatizing Mental Illness.
Welcome to the next episode of Hidden Battles, Destigmatizing Mental Illness. We're going to get down and dirty on the election. It's the night before the election. We have Kamala Harris, and then we have Trump. And then we're going to really try to not really focus on those two people, but rather what families can be doing on the night of the eve of the election. And yeah. Or even days or weeks prior, and how do you sit down and really figure this stuff out? Well, who are you voting for? And of course, there's a lot of undecided voters, and by the time this podcast gets out, it's going to be kind of a moot point, but we don't really care about the election itself. What we care about is bringing it back to the family. And I don't care if you're an adult male, 25 years old, living by yourself, you should be doing these things, thinking exactly. things through, and yeah. not just voting based on the trend. And one thing I wanted to touch on, you'd asked me, you said something about behaviors are what?
Behaviors are caught.
Caught. Like an illness or like a flu exactly. or like a whatever. Maybe sometime we can get into this, but I can give you actual demonstrative sociological studies of where people can trick people into doing shit that they wouldn't normally do.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a study that's been done on
Jim Jones.
You know, you got the prison study. You have the study of the putting smoke in the classroom. You have the study of shapes where you had 15 people. Everybody saw the same triangle. And then at the end, they say, I saw a square. Right. Mm-hmm. And then all 15 said they saw a square, but the 16 said that they saw.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So behavior is influence. So influence. The only way that you can really know that you're making an influential decision is learning and listening to things that you don't want to hear. Listening to things outside of what your original belief system mm-hmm. is, being able to question your own belief system and your own values, and that's how they can become enhanced.
People are afraid to do that.
Absolutely. Like when I went yeah. to my statistics class, my professor was convinced me there was no God, and believe me, I am devout. And so I was like, oh my God, there's no God. What am I going to do with my whole life? And everything that I believed was just a matter of happenstance, because if something's bound to happen, it's going to happen, and on and on and on. But what it really made me do is it really brought me back to my faith. And he goes mm-hmm. to church.
Mm. Wow.
And so he gave me the best gift. And so being able to question that. So, and I'll shut up. I know you guys have some questions.
No, but that's good to question even your faith.
Absolutely.
To question your beliefs, because you could have grown up in it. It could have been generational, passed down. And to step out and really question it is a good thing. That's how we grow. But I want to go back to that behavior is caught. Let me break that down, because behavior is caught. Meaning, say, if you got a parent saying, do not do this. You're not going to do that. I said this. You better do this. Do it this way. They're yeah. telling them what to do. But then the parent goes and does
sure.
the opposite thing sure. of what they're saying. The kid sees the behavior that the parent's doing, mm-hmm. and that behavior is caught. They're going to do what the parent's doing, not what they're saying.
That creates value ambivalence. I don't know what else to say other than that, you know, but every human has the right to have that, because there are a lot of parents out there that want to do the right thing and teach their children the right thing, but just aren't doing the right thing yet. Yep. And so being able to let your children know that these are things that we aspire to, these are the things that we make the most of our decisions based off of. And we're not always going to get it right. We're not always going to do the next right thing. But that's right. the human condition, to aspire to the value, because you're never, ever, ever, ever going to have a full value-based decision-making model, because you're going to want that car when you shouldn't have it. You're going to want them clothes when you shouldn't have it. You're going to want that watch. You're going to want that house. You're going to want this and want that. And so you're always working toward something, and that is the underlining value of them all, is working toward that next
to the mark, getting to the right. mark.
And yeah. then you never know what's going to happen in that, on that pathway to that mark, because your values are going to change based upon circumstances
sure.
that happen in
they
your
sure
life.
They sure can.
And like Paul said in the Bible, we're continuous striving for the mark. But understand, that mark can move here when you think you're here, and it can move there, because we're constantly developing.
And maybe
and
once you hit your mark, yeah. it's elevated.
Exactly.
And it's even more and more and more and more. So
we talked about the election, and I know that it'll be over by the time folks hear this podcast, and we were having this during the break, a conversation about the values of the candidates or any political candidate. Mm. And when we look back on previous episodes, we talked about the freaking family. It everything starts with the family.
Absolutely. So that's the underlining right. anything that we talk about from here on out. Right. Underlining is bring it back to the family, bring it back to the table, bring these conversations up that we're having at the table. We digress, we get off topic. Those are don't compartmentalize these conversations into one particular topic. Let them free flow. Let them go wherever, exactly. because the point isn't not the conversation. The point is that there is a conversation. It doesn't matter. Like, don't sit down with an agenda, right. a 3-point agenda and a 4-point plan. Exactly. Blah, 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 blah. No, exactly. get your kids talking. That is the goal.
Right. And we talked about the two political candidates that ran for office and how do their values align with the values of the family or the individual as it pertains to making a decision as to whether or not you're going to pick a candidate. Because right. we all have similar values, but then there's some other values, mm-hmm. you know, like, for example, I'm going to just take, one of the candidates is running in the state of Nebraska is a veteran. Mm-hmm. I'm a veteran. You see that? I yep. value that.
Yep. Yep.
Tim Walz is a veteran. Mm-hmm. I'm a veteran. So yep. I value that.
Yeah.
You know, John McCain, I looked up to him, he, you know, even though, you know, whatever his political affiliation was, he's a veteran. So as a veteran sitting here at the table, that's something that I value. So we all bring different types of values to the table. And as you were saying, Jeremy, make a decision based upon your values.
Yeah, and they're not always going to align, but what you're talking about, and I'm going to reiterate this, and maybe I wasn't clear in the last episode, but your values should be so driven that you decide whether or not this electric company is for you. Whether this friendship, whether this work, whether this politician, you should be making value-based decisions in almost every area of your life. If you find that the owner of a particular plumbing group is a veteran and he aligns with you and he shows up and he gets the job done, I bet you're going to want to call him back.
Absolutely.
But you find that person, the first thing you call, you press one for dot, dot, dot. I mean, look at all of the big businesses. You don't have customer service anymore. You're getting charged to use a bank when they're making killer money off of you. Like, we can go on and on and on and on and on. You know, everybody wants a damn credit card to improve their credit score, but it's the most discriminatory practice on the planet. I can't even believe it's still legal, you know. And
it's called bank fees.
Yeah, bank fee, bank robbery exactly. is what it is. It's just reversed.
Bank robbery. I like that.
So are we, again, we had an election, because by the time folks hear this, and people made decisions based upon their values. And so, go ahead.
But a lot of people made decisions based upon their affiliation to left or right, or red or blue.
So were they really looking at their values, right. or
Thank
were they...
That's it.
That is exactly it. Did you make the decision based on what CNN, LMNOP, Fox, MSNBC, whatever those mainstream media are? But let's get clear. You know, social media is really taking a good toll. I mean, it's kicking ass. And they do have an influence. But one of the things that social media cannot provide you is the power that the mainstream has to really, truly get down. Because mainstream media has the resources. They can get into the White House. But the problem is that whether you think so or not, people don't trust the media. They do not. And if the media system does not wake up, they will not be anything important, and then we'll be stuck with only social media, and that in and of itself is a problem.
People are valuing social media more than mainstream media. Is that where? Because I can
tell you that it was a huge mistake that Kamala Harris didn't engage more in social media, and mm-hmm. Trump and Kennedy and Elon and Tulsi and all those people.
That concludes Hidden Battles Destigmatizing Mental Illness podcast. Join in every week. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share.